This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Are you ready to make America great again?
Bernie Sanders doesn't get it. Hillary Clinton doesn't get it. Barack Obama, he really don't get it.
The next time we see him, we might have to kill him.
Donald Trump has a lot of work to do telling us what he's going to do specifically.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president. And the reason is because I have a lot of faith in the American people.
Welcome to the second episode of TrumpCast. I'm Jacob Weisberg. I want to thank everyone who rated and reviewed us on iTunes. We appreciate it. Today on the show, I'll be speaking with a clinical psychologist about Donald Trump. But first, the man himself. Donald was kind enough to call in from the campaign trail to read us his most recent tweets.
For the first time ever, I'm going to be reading my own tweets. This is going to be very, very classy. People are going to love this. They're going to love it, I tell you. North Carolina lost 300,000 manufacturing jobs, and Ohio lost 400,000 since 2000, going to Mexico, etc. No more if I win. We will bring back. Rubio is weak on illegal immigration, with the worst voting record in the U.S. Senate in many years. He will never make America great again. In presidential voting so far, John Kasich is 0 for 22. So why would he be a good candidate? Hillary would beat him. I will beat Hillary. Please remember, I'm the only candidate who is self-funding his campaign. Kasich, Rubio, and Cruz are all bought and paid for by lobbyists. Kasich voted for NAFTA, a disaster for Ohio, and now he wants the even worse TPP approved. Vote Trump and end this madness.
My guest today is Dr. Ben Michaelis, a psychologist in private practice in New York. Dr. Michaelis earned his PhD from NYU and was a clinical intern at Bellevue. Dr. Michaelis, thanks so much for being on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you were quoted in Vanity Fair saying that Trump has textbook narcissistic personality disorder. How long have you been feeling this way about Donald Trump?
Look, I've been watching him like this for a while. The article where I was quoted was several months ago. This was actually in the fall, and watching the way in which he had handled himself throughout the campaign and some of his behaviors and the belittling behaviors really concerned me, as well as the kind of xenophobia. But the one thing that I thought was a turning point was when he was mocking that disabled reporter. And that seemed to expand his power base. And that really, really gave me pause.
So let me ask you, you know, when lay people see Trump, they say, that guy's a narcissist. And there's a clinical term that gets thrown around, narcissistic personality disorder. What is that?
So, and just to be clear, like, I actually have met Donald Trump, but I haven't met him in a clinical context, so yes. I can't formally diagnose him. But, you know, from a personality disorder standpoint, you know, he really does seem to inhabit all of the characteristics that clinically tend to fall with narcissistic personality disorder, which is sort of a grandiose sense of self, very little in the way of concern for others' feelings, and the thing is the vitriol that he uses, the way he attacks anyone that feels differently than him, that is also part of the sort of same constellation, because I think it fundamentally comes from a feeling of being really small and disempowered. It's not true confidence. It's arrogance, which is really built on fear as opposed to experience and strength.
So have you, I know you haven't diagnosed Donald Trump in person, but have you diagnosed patients with narcissistic personality disorder or seen patients who suffer from it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What can be done for them? Can it be treated?
How much time do you have? You know, for many, many years, my field actually tried to avoid working with people with narcissistic personality disorder. It was sort of known that very little could be done because you're challenged because you're working with someone with very little empathy. And empathy is actually critical for the psychotherapeutic endeavor to sort of have some sort of bond with your patients. And people with narcissistic personality disorder aren't really able to form those kind of interpersonal bonds because they're so sort of deeply wrapped up in themselves that they really can't identify with anyone. The only thing that they are generally capable of is having people around them that are kind of sycophantic, you know, and that's one of the traits, is requiring excessive admiration from people around you. And so there's not a lot of history of success of people with narcissistic personality disorder in my field, to be perfectly honest with you.
So I associate narcissism with, among other things, having a demeaning attitude toward women. Is that a thing? And can women be narcissists?
The stats indicate that the majority of people with narcissistic personality disorder actually are male, but women can definitely have a narcissistic personality disorder as well. I think that it tends to go along with certain traits that are, at least in our society, more common with men and tend to be linked to testosterone. But women can definitely be narcissists as well.
And for men, is mistreating women one of the traits?
It's sort of belittling anyone that is not directly related to increasing your power. And because of the fact that women are still marginalized in many ways in our society, it would sort of come often naturally as part of narcissistic personality disorder in men.
Do narcissists lie more readily or more often than other people?
Probably yes. The thing is, and some of the lies, you know, the most effective form of lying is lying to oneself. So they may not be aware of their own lies, of course, but it is a part of this sort of cluster of personality traits, including antisocial personality disorder. So there's a similarity, at least clinically, between narcissism and antisocial personality disorder, which certainly does involve lying. So the answer is probably yes. It's not one of the sort of necessarily diagnostic conditions, but being exploitive certainly is, and lying often comes with exploitation.
Is not paying your bills a narcissistic trait?
Oh, absolutely. Huh. Absolutely. To sort of say, oh, well, you didn't really do the job that I wanted, to welch on agreement, those are absolutely part of that whole constellation of narcissism and antisocial personality disorder.
So let me ask you, Dr. Michaelis, if he is a victim of mental illness, shouldn't we be sympathetic to him in some way? We wouldn't make fun of someone who suffered from depression or bipolar disorder.
I'm not making fun of him. I don't think that we should. I think that we should take him very seriously. Again, without diagnosing him, I do think that there is serious, serious personality disorder there. And we should be looking at him as that kind of individual as opposed to some sort of something to be laughed at.
So, well, you said narcissistic personality disorder is especially hard to treat. But I don't know, imagine Donald Trump came to you and said, I suffer from this and I know it. What would you do about him? How would you treat someone like that?
I would try to figure out if there was any way to build empathy between him and me and him and other people, because that's the way change happens, is through some sort of interpersonal connection. And that's what's so challenging about working with people with this personality disorder.
Dr. Michaelis, thank you so much for joining us today on TrumpCast.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for today's episode of TrumpCast. Tell us what you think of us by giving us a rating and review on iTunes. On Twitter, I'm at Jacob Wee. The show is produced by Henry Milofsky and Jason DeLeon. Slate's executive producer is Steve Lichtai. Andy Bowers is chief content officer. Let's go out with this clip from Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, where she talked to Trump supporters about the media. But before we forget, the Donald would like to thank one last guest.
I want to thank John DiDomenico for reading my tweets. I have to tell you, he was dead on.
You can book him for your banquet or bar mitzvah at johnnyd.net. That's johnnyd.net. I'm Jacob Weisberg. Talk to you on the next edition of TrumpCast.
Was there anything we could agree on?
The whole presidential nomination is a big reality show, and that's why he's winning.
So you like his media whoredom.
But you're whoring off of his media whore.
I'm a whore, too.
I think you're kind of a trickle-down media whore, because here you are just getting the remains.
So in the big bukkake of media, I'm the one at the bottom of the fuck pile.
I think that's an accurate assessment.
Who feels like a party?